festivals, the gatherings. Oh, everything falling into place. Watchers watching as I prepare my way. Oh, that my children know the fullness of my heart and that what I've established and prepared. I am gracious. I am deliverer. I am healer. I am worthy of all praise. I am he who was, who is to come. Oh, that my children would see as I prepare my way. For this is the day I have made. This is the day of rejoicing. This is the day of judgment which has begun in my house. I have not forsaken. I have not turned my back. I've looked. That's why I've said, seek my face, for my face will never turn from you. But that which is evil and that which is wicked, I will turn. For my judgment is in my house, and my people will be prepared. For I am coming. I am coming. I am coming, says the Lord. Father, we stand in awe of you and who you are and what you've done. We ask for your forgiveness of every area of touching unclean things, of letting our eyes see the wickedness in the area of uncleanliness. Lord, letting our ears hear the wickedness of uncleanliness. Lord, we repent for giving our heart to anyone or anything but you. We call back our heart from the north, south, east, and west that it may be given to you totally. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound, washing us with the blood of the Lamb, that the heart, mind, will, and the desires of Christ would be manifested in us, that we would be like-minded with you and with one another, that your kingdom would be manifested, that your desires and not our own. Lord, have mercy. We look to you, Master. We ask that you increase our faith, that you increase our discernment, increase our clarity, increase our thirst and hunger for you, knowing that nothing else is fulfilling but you. Now we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Come in this place. Let the anointing in the presence of the glory of your love break every yoke. Loose from the torment of the mind. Loose from the bondages and the entanglements of this world. Loose us from every hold of emotional attachments of people, places, and things. Loose us from our past. Loose us from our lusts. Loose us, that we may be free. Free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In Jesus' name. Master, teacher, father, deliverer, healer, establisher, perfecter, warrior, destroyer, reconciler, provider, holder of life and breath, holder of the spirits that you create, you who hide, for nothing is hidden from you. For you see in the dark, you can dwell in the dark, you can dwell in the light. Nothing is hidden from you. Nothing. The discerner of the heart and the mind and the will, the establisher of kingdoms. You are because you are, and you always will be. Pure love. Pure love. Lord, please bring revival to the body of Christ. Please bring revival. Melt the walls of demonic nations. Melt the walls of the hearts of your people. Bring unity of your spirit. As we speak peace, blessing, salvation, stewardship, and protection to Jerusalem and Israel, returning your people home safely. Lord, we ask that you'll visit the schools, that you'll answer the cries of those calling out in your name, that you'll rescue those who are considering abortions, that you'll put your servants in office and bring confusion in the enemy's camp, that you'll visit your people in a mighty way, and that you'll prepare us for your coming. Lord, we commit everything to you. We cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Now, Lord, I pray for each and every one in this room today that revelation, impartation, and wisdom, knowledge, and discernment would be manifested in them and increased. I'm asking, Lord, that you'll prosper your people right here. Prosper them, Lord, spiritually, physically, and financially. Grant them favor in every area. Open the doors that are of you and shut the doors that are not. Chasten us in every area where we've made place for the devil. Chasten us, Lord. Correct us. Rebuke us. Purify us. And position us towards no longer we that live, but you that live. That your name would be honored and glorified and hallowed in us. And that our lives will be lived according to your will and not our own. We thank you, Lord, for not only what you've done, but what you're doing. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah! Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Is everybody all right? Ezekiel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Read it with me, please. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. How many of you want to see visions of God? Praise God. Better ask for it. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King in the King Jehoahaya captivity. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Boza, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, and of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each one of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man, each one of the four had the face of a lion on the right side, and each of the four had a face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had a face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward, two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. And for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of braille, and all four had the same likenesses. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. In verse 22, the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings were spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two, which covered one side, and each one had two, which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the noise of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. The voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in the appearance like sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with a brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Now I want you to understand that Ezekiel saw the tabernacle in heaven. This was the throne room of God, the eternal tabernacle of God in heaven. It's amazing in how God allowed Ezekiel to see this. You know, one of the Lord's desires was that he would dwell with man. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. But Ezekiel saw the beginning. He saw the area where the throne, the tabernacle of God, the eternal tabernacle of God, was in heaven. One day we will see this right on the earth. Unless the Lord chooses to take you there. Hallelujah. And in this was the first tabernacle that man got to see. And that's why Ezekiel wrote it down to express and what is at the throne room of God. Again, the tabernacle is a representation that God desires to dwell with man. Now, we have been talking about the events, the seasons, and the times according to the seven feasts of the Lord. And in this is God's visitations and appointed times. See, right now, judgment is in the house of God. And because judgment is in the house of God, it's because he's bringing judgment to the earth. And we talked about the area where there are seven feasts, and number seven meaning complete and perfect. And the importance right now that the body of Christ be taught the feast of the Lord, so that they know the visitation of the Lord and the sequences of what's going on, because they coincide also with tribulation. And we shared that the first three spring feasts was the feast of Passover, unleavened, and first fruits, what only Jesus can fulfill. Then there was a summer feast called Pentecost. And then there's the fall feast, which must be fulfilled. So all the first four feasts have been fulfilled, and the last three feasts must be fulfilled, which are called fall feasts. In this, the next feast that will be fulfilled is known as the Feast of Trumpets. We've shared the importance of trumpets, and just, I'm not going to recap on everything, but just remember the trumpets is an area where the trumpets are sound. It's a reminder that it's a warning. It's a time of gathering. It's a time of battle, and it's a time of coordination of a king. And then we know that there will be, the next feast is called Atonement, and that's where the Lord will return, because he's going to atone Israel. Now we know at the Feast of Trumpets, I truly believe that the body of Christ will be removed in the Feast of Trumpets, because we are not accounted for wrath, right? And we know that the 144,000 will be sealed, because he always leaves a seal on the earth. And that's when the two prophets will come forth and so forth. And that will most likely happen in mid-tribulation, as far as we can see. Just be ready. It doesn't matter when. Amen? And so now, when we've talked about atonement, because God is going to atone Israel. During the judgment in the last 3.5 years of tribulation, because the first 3.5 years represent the seven sealed letters to the church, the second 3.5 years will represent the seven seals of judgment. And in this, God begins to, from the time of the Feast of Trumpets, begins to pour out and break open the seven seals. And more tribulation, more and more disasters will come. It will continue to increase, increase, and increase in hope that people will come to repentance. And when he comes, he will come during atonement and he will atone. He will go to battle in Armageddon and he'll destroy and clean up what needs to get cleaned up. And 5 days after that, there'll be a celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles, known as Sukkot, or known as the Feast of Gathering, is the most celebrated feast that there is. And because of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a celebration because the atonement is done. And the gathering is fulfilled, and it's about the crops and so forth. And we'll go a little bit more into it. But turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. In verse 33, and it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On a first day there shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. When you see holy convocation, it's usually representation of a Sabbath. So we see that on the 7th month, number 7 meaning complete and perfect, on the first day of the 7th month will be the Feast of Trumpets. 10 days later will be the Feast of Atonement. And then 5 days later after that will be the Feast of Tabernacles. But we know that during tribulation, when the Feast of Trumpets is fulfilled, it's going to be 3.5 years later for the Feast of Atonement to be fulfilled. And once the Lord returns, then the Feast of Atonement will be fulfilled, and 5 days later after that, the Feast of Tabernacles will be set up. Let's go a little further. In verse 37. I want to read 36. Hold on. For 7 days you shall what? Offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything on its day. Besides the Sabbath of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all of your vows, and besides all of your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest. He's talking about the same feast. See, he's calling it the gathering, the ingathering now. And on the 8th day, a Sabbath rest. So you see, when the Feast of Tabernacles begins, there'll be a Sabbath, 7 day feast. On the 8th day, there'll be another Sabbath. And this is so symbolic in meaning about what's coming. In verse 40, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of all beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Party time. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in it the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths. These are not vending booths. These are booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Now these booths, the word tabernacles means booths or huts, what we call tents now. And if you recall, when the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, Egypt meaning the world, okay, out of bondage, and he set up his tabernacle, and all the 12 tribes of Israel, and all those that were following the Lord, or following Moses, would set up all around the tabernacle. And they would dwell in booths. They would dwell in tents all the days in the wilderness. So we see here it's party time. It's the greatest celebration. It is the final feast of the year. The final feast of the year. It is the feast of ingathering observed after all crops have been harvested or gathered. They're going to dwell in booths or tents to commemorate the past goodness and provisions during the wilderness journey while the tabernacle was among the Israelites. It'll be a remembrance and a celebration of great joy. Now, I want you to think about it, because Passover, being the first feast, was also celebrated with the Feast of Unleavened, which was 7 days. The Feast of Unleavened was celebrated 7 days. That's how the first feast started. And the last feast will end with a celebration of 7 days. Because he is the beginning and he is the end. And he is perfect and he is complete. In other words, it's also known as Sukkot. S-U-K-K-O-T. So we see here that during this feast, it's going to begin with a Sabbath, and it's going to end with a Sabbath. Go to Matthew 13, please. We're going to be talking later about what's going to be happening in the millennium. And at the end of the millennium. Hallelujah. In Matthew 13, is everybody there? In Matthew 13 and verse 38, and the Lord said, the field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. What age? The age of grace. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we see here, this is, he's talking about atonement, which they're going to gather for what? Judgment. Are you hearing? And then after that, they're going to celebrate because this is all over with. But we just talked about the Feast of Tabernacles. It's also about the gathering in of the crop, right? So the crop here is representation of man. The harvest. The great harvest. Are you listening? Go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, 15. We'll start at 14. Would you read it with me then? Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came, and out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was what? The earth was what? Reaped. Let's continue on. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for their grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. Now, I want you to understand, he's talking about Armageddon. Can you imagine the blood going up to the bridle of a horse? That's a lot of blood. It's a lot of flesh. But this is all going to be happening in Israel, in the area of Armageddon. Why? Because this is the harvest. You got to understand that Israel, the Jews in Israel and also the world is going to be going through a lot of stuff during this period of time. But when the Lord comes and this is done and over with, they're going to be rejoicing. That's the Feast of Tabernacles that they will celebrate. Glory. Now, it will be the end of the age of grace. We'll enter when the Lord comes and he fulfills the atonement, and then he calls all the birds in to eat all the flesh to clean it up. He's going to use his own creation to clean up the earth. And then we're going to enter into the Feast of Tabernacles. And the reality of the Feast of Tabernacles is actually going to be entering in to the Sabbath millennium. That will be our millennium, 1,000-year reign. Go to the book of Revelation and chapter 20. In verse 1, it says, and I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and I saw on them judgments was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So I want you to understand that the Feast of Tabernacles is going to begin the beginning of the millennium, which will be a Sabbath millennium. On this day also, on this specific day, others will be resurrected. And we'll talk about this here in a second. Now, and it says that because he's going to resurrect those who have been beheaded for Jesus, right? Are you hearing me? Now, I don't know if you have seen the video that there's a DVD that's been going out all over. It's called Obsession. And it's very powerful. And it talks about the Islamic terrorists, and their main goal is to behead everybody. I mean, anybody who doesn't believe in what they're doing, then even their own families, they want to behead. And if you haven't seen that video, I encourage you to see it, because it brings powerful revelation of what's happening right now, because it's actually demonic forces that have infiltrated already and possess individuals. Their purpose, of course, we know that the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies, isn't he? So they're lying to their children and they're producing hatred in them. And these demons are just being fed by hatred in every area. And I really believe that in this end time war, this is what our fight's going to be against. Because I really believe most of it is going to be associated in the area of Israel, where there's going to be a lot of fight over the dome or over that piece of property. Jerusalem. So in this, we know that during this period of time, many people will be beheaded because they rejected the mark of the beast. But anyone who receives the mark of the beast is lost, and there's nothing they can do. It's done and over with. That's why the two prophets will be speaking in Israel, and 144,000 sealed witnesses will be all over the world, preaching the gospel, telling people not to take the mark, not to take the mark. But the devil's going to threaten people in every way he can. He's going to say, man, you can't eat, you can't drink, you won't have anything. The only way that you're going to get food, the only way you're going to get this or that is to receive the mark. And people will be willing to die than to receive the mark, because they'll be, hopefully. But then there are those who will continue to reject the salvation of Christ, and the Lord will allow them to go into their own delusions. So we see here that when the Lord returns in atonement to fulfill, he will fight in Armageddon. The blood will be up to the bridle of the horses. Then he's going to grab Satan and he's going to chain him for 1,000 years. That will start our millennium. That will be the Sabbath millennium. Is everybody okay? In other words, the word Sabbath is a representation of seventh. It's on the seventh day. The Sabbath is always on the seventh day. So we shared already that this feast is going to start with a Sabbath, right? And it's going to end with a Sabbath. The whole thing is it's going to be a 1,000-year Sabbath. Actually, the Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated 1,000 years long. Hallelujah. Go to Zechariah 14. You'll be able to see this again. Zechariah 14. In first four verses, would you read it with me? Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken and the houses riffled, and women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in the day, his feet will stand on the Mount of what? Olives. So that means that we will reign with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. Does everybody got it? But we will have glorified bodies. Now, our home will be in the eternal realm, okay? Because there is another place, which will be known as Jerusalem, which will eventually come down on the new earth and the new heaven. But in the meantime, that's not happening until the end of the 1,000 years. So your home will actually be in the heavenlies, but you have a glorified body so you can go to and fro for 1,000 years. Because you'll be reigning here, but you'll be living there. Now, I don't know what the duty roster yet, so we'll have to wait till then. Okay? I don't know what watch you'll have yet, so. Is everybody okay? All right. So he's going to land on Mount Olives, right? Let's read verse 4 again. And in that day, his feet will stand on Mount Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half towards the south. Then you shall flee through the mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Ezel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit because I don't want to go through everything here. I want to go to verse 8. And in that day shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Over what? All the earth. So it's going to be raining on earth. Amen. He will be hanging out. His house is going to be in Jerusalem. Does everybody understand that? Okay, that's where the temple or the tabernacle will be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Gibeah to Ramon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel to the king's wine presses. The people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be what? Safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord shall strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Now you got to remember that after atonement, okay, after the Lord comes to battle in atonement, all right, then he's going to begin to set up the tabernacle, and then he's going to bring judgment to the nations. Are you hearing me? In other words, people who made it through and who came against Israel and Jerusalem and who survived during the tribulation, there will also be another judgment. Is everybody okay? All right, cool. Now listen. Are you with me? Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against the neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and on the mule, on the camel and on the donkey and on the cattle that will be in those camps. So shall this plague be. Now, the millennium is going to start, and in this, and it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who has left all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king. This is during the millennium Sabbath. The Feast of Tabernacles will go on for 1,000 years. And every year, everyone that survived will go up to the Feast of Tabernacles. From year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. There'll be no what? No rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is going to be happening during the 1,000-year reign. This shall be a punishment of Egypt and punishment of all nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots of the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. And that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So we see here, even during the time of the millennium, those feasts will still be going on. And God will still continue to not, in other words, he will not prosper those who are not willing to cooperate and come and celebrate the feast. Is everybody okay? Go to Isaiah 2. So we certainly don't want to miss, do we? Isaiah chapter 2. Now we know that we're going to return with the Lord. We're going to return with the Lord on atonement. He's going to go to the Mount of Olives. And we will return with him in battle. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 2. The Feast of Tabernacles. Let's read the first few verses. And the word of the Lord that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So we see here, where's the house going to be? In Jerusalem. Does everybody understand? Go to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. In verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, and the year of release at the what? Feast of Tabernacles. So there's going to be a release from bondage, a release from debt. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross to the Jordan to possess. So we see here that at that period of time, many people are going to learn. They're going to learn what? The fear of the Lord. This is what some of the things that will be going on during the millennium. Go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Oh, good. In verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Ezekiel 37 and verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to what? Come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Again, I truly believe that there will be a resurrection at this period of time. This is when the Lord will call forth his children from the graves. And they will enter into the millennium. Because especially even those who have died during the 3.5 years of tribulation, which will also be raised up. In that time, also remember that the two prophets that will be resurrected, and at that period of time, the 144 will be taken, and also all those who died during that period of time, which is going to be atonement. He says, and I will open your graves and bring you into the land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it, says the Lord. You got to understand something, that the glory of the Lord will be all over now. I mean, and God, and the rain here is not only talking about physical rain, but he's talking about the latter rain, his presence. His presence. Now, we talked about the area of the tabernacle in heaven, right? And we know that actually the first tabernacle on the earth was in the Garden of Eden. Because God placed Adam, he created the garden, and he placed Adam in the garden so he could dwell with him. And then from that point on, and why don't we go to Genesis 2 so you can see it. This is the first place God would meet with man. In Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. So we know that there was the tabernacle in heaven, right? And God creates man and he says, listen, I want to meet with man. I want to be with my, let my creation know who I am. I want to be a father to them. And in Genesis 2, in verse 8 and 9, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 15, and the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So we see here that the garden was created, it was a tabernacle for God to meet man. And then when Adam fell and Eve fell, things changed around, didn't they? And in Exodus 25, if you'll go there, God meets with man again. Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9. And the Lord visits Moses. Well, I guess he sent an invitation out through a bush. And Moses accepted the invitation. And that was over. Never the same. And the Lord tells Moses, in verse 8, he said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Remember, God's desire was always to dwell among his people. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just show, so shall you make it. So we see here now, this is the second attempt that God created a tabernacle to dwell with man. The first one was in the garden, and the second one was with Moses. Now turn to John chapter 2. Now in this, the tabernacle is an area of dwelling. It was known as the tent of meeting. It was known as the tabernacle of testimony. And in John chapter 2, so that's why the feast will be constantly celebrated, because God will be dwelling with us. Hallelujah. John chapter 2. And verse 19, would you read it? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, you got to understand it. Now he was talking about Jesus was the temple. Jesus was, he was talking about himself. But 3,000 is a representation of one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. So he was actually telling them that there'll be a brand new tabernacle that will come. In other words, my tabernacle will come in 3,000 years, because there'll be a brand new tabernacle at the end of the 1,000-year millennium. So not only was he talking about 3 days that he will be raised, but in 3,000 years, there's going to be another tabernacle. Are you with me? Is everybody okay? So we know that Jesus was going to die, right, in 3 days be raised, because he's the tabernacle. He was the tabernacle of God. He was a representation of the eternal tabernacle of God Almighty, right? So in 3 days, this tabernacle will be raised, but in a representation prophetically, in 3,000 years, there'll be a new tabernacle at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Go to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9. Start at verse 1. And he said to them, "Surely I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Now after 6 days, hello, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared with them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." So we see that Jesus was the tabernacle, right? Okay. And in this, Peter says, well, let's build 3 tabernacles. Now, when he saw Moses and he saw Elijah, now Jesus was the eternal tabernacle that came down to bridge the old tabernacle and create a new one. So Moses was a representation of the tabernacle of the law of the Old Testament. Jesus was the eternal tabernacle to bridge the old and the new. And Elijah represents the spirit-filled individual that will become the tabernacle of God Almighty, known as the temple. That was fulfilled on the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, it's just for you. In verse 1. Now the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as one of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is where they became the tabernacle. You and I became the temple of the living God. Now, I want you to understand something about some of the judgment. Because there's going to be, there'll be 3 judgments. And the judgments in this are going to be the judgments of the saints. There'll be the judgments of the saints, the judgments of nations, and the judgment of the wicked. Those will be the 3 judgments that will come. The judgments of the saints, where we'll be rewarded the judgments of the nations, which the Lord will bring the nations before him and judge them. And then there'll be the judge of the wicked, or known as the dead, at the end of 1,000 years. Now remember that we are now the temple, and we'll be reunited with the tabernacle that will come. We'll be known as pillars. If you read the book of Revelation, some of us will be pillars in the temple of God. And we are called to be priests and kings unto our God, aren't we? It's also going to be a representation of a marriage in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because there'll be a merge. And Revelation 19, would you go there please? Revelation 19. Start at verse 1. And after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and the honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, so you know where they were at, fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all of you his servants, those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Right blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we see that there's going to be a marriage here also, isn't he? So all of this, in the Feast of Tabernacles, all of these events are going to be fulfilled and come together. Go to Matthew 22. Oh, it's going to be an awesome time. But you won't be dwelling in tents, okay? You be the tent, man. Matthew 22. And this is why Jesus said this parable. And he said the kingdom of, in verse 2, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again, he sent out other servants saying, Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and many as you find invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Remember when Jesus saw Judas, he called him friend. Then a king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And he was talking about those who would reject him for the wedding. Now, I want you to understand something very powerful, because Jesus started his ministry with a wedding. Are you hearing? And he'll end it with a wedding. And I want to close at John 7, I think. John 7, is everybody there? And verse 37. On the last day, he's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." But of course, during this period of time, he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But it will be also given to those in the millennium. See, this feast he is talking about is known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you hearing? Are you listening? And he says, and on the last day, he says, and those who thirst and hunger, come to me. Because he will pour out his Spirit during the 1,000-year reign also. Right after the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll talk more about the last day and other things that will be going on in the millennium. And then what will happen at the end of the millennium. But did everybody get a picture tonight of the Feast of Tabernacles? The importance of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's not only the tabernacle that will be set up in Jerusalem, and we will reign. Because so many people are saying, well, no, we're not going to reign here on the earth. Well, where's Jesus going to be? I want to be where he is. It says that we'll reign with him, right? Well, the Bible says that Jesus will land on the Mount of Olives, right, in atonement. He will atone for his children. He will bring judgment. He will gather the nations. Hello? Because the saints of all will already be judged, and they will have rewards. And then the nations will be judged that came against Jerusalem and Israel. And then after 1,000 years, the wicked or the dead will be judged. And then during this tabernacle, there will be the marriage. Hallelujah. So the Feast of Tabernacle will actually be 1,000 years long. Will continue. And then the real tabernacle, yeah, the new one's going to be coming, and everything will burn and cook. And that's what he requested in Leviticus, and we'll talk about this later. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you would continue to protect this seed and allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And you will prepare us as the walking temple. For you said, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? And so we are. And we look forward to being reunited with the true tabernacle of the living God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one. I ask you to keep our heart pure. Our heart ready. And our lives in your hands. Visit us, Master, and bring revival that you may be glorified. Keep us on fire. Anyone that's lukewarm in here, Lord, I'm asking that you'll fire them up. Fire us up. Fire us up. Keep us on fire, no lukey, but fiery for your glory. Now, Lord, visit your people and prosper them for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.